Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. Welcome to the Extra Hour. Welcome to the Extra Hour of VFN Radio. We'll give a big shout out to our underwriters and sponsors out there. We want this particular hour, we want to recognize
the Coffee House on Navy Boulevard.
Oh my goodness.
Listen,
Navy Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida, right?
In Pensacola, Florida. In fact, 31 North on Navy Boulevard.
Right.
And you just don't want to miss it. I mean, I got there and had a nice cup of coffee. Has a great warm feel, the free Wi-Fi. They support all of this. That's a big deal. And they support all the military there.
Oh, wow.
And it was so awesome to see all of them sitting there, giving great discounts.
Yeah.
They got food. I mean, all got good stuff. I did have a breakfast croissant, I will admit. Homemade fresh eggs. I mean, none of that, you know, processed stuff. It was really good.
How about
it's really
that?
Good.
Well, be sure, you know, be sure that you visit all of our underwriters and thank them for standing for the light.
No doubt.
Standing for the light. You can find out more at VFNTV.com and just follow the promptings right there. Maybe you want to become one. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to become a sponsor or an underwriter. And standing up for God and country in that order and Israel, it's very significant. When you go there and you find out, you go, oh my goodness, we will not stand without those three pillars. You won't have a business without those. You won't have a customer without those.
Hello?
We might not even have a country
if
we don't stand up for those three pillars there in the context of that. I know we're beginning the extra hour here, and we're in the seventh day of the government shutdown. We've talked about that in the first hour. You got to catch it. We want to continue a conversation on about WWJD, who would God organize? Or who would Jesus organize, right? WWJO.
Oh,
right.
So WWJD is what would Jesus do, and WWJO is who would Jesus organize?
That's right.
A good question, because if that's what he wants us to do,
right,
you know, we need to organize.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was accused of
everything.
Everything. And one of them was organizing a rebellion or a revolt against the people who said that they were following God and teaching God's, but he was God. So how can you organize a revolt against God if you're not? Oh, you're not following God. That's what that was.
Right.
That he just followed the Father. And so, and then they called him Lucifer, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of throws you off when God's called Lucifer.
Yeah, no doubt.
And normally it's actually Lucifer that will call God Lucifer, because he's trying to throw it off.
It's called a clue.
It's a deflecting tool. You know, it's defect. You know about deflecting?
Like yeah, I've heard of that.
You've heard of that?
Yeah.
Have you experienced it?
Oh, yeah.
But before we do that, I just want to be able to say about the light. I wonder, you're about to hear something from the VFN Dream Center. And that if you have not yet come or been participated or listened to what's taking place at the VFN Dream Center, VineFellowshipNetwork.org, you can find out more about it. But here is a moment. Here is a moment that took place just recently. And about the light. We're talking about the light that's going on. And in the context of that, we just want you to kind of hear what's coming from our heart there, because you know, I really believe God's calling people that really want to be a part in this day of being the answer, not complaining about darkness, not screaming at darkness, but about being the light. Let's just join in just for a quick little moment there at the VFN Dream Center.
I'll never forget when I was in law enforcement, I was chasing the suspect through the woods, the dark woods, but I had my flashlight. And I'm running, trying to collect my $3.75 an hour, chasing Bundy in the woods. My frontal lobe wasn't developed yet then. I used to think, what am I doing? The last thing I did was something like that. Anyway, so anyway, I'm chasing this guy in the woods. I was so confident because I had this big, bright flashlight. You know, he's running, and I'm running. You know, he's dropping all the bank bags and money. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he's running, and it's just me and him in the woods, and my help is coming, but they're a long ways off. And it's hard to tell where you are in the woods. Like, where are you at? I'm in the woods, man. I'm in the woods. Can you hear me breathing? And we're way deep. We're way deep. But I got this confidence because I got this light. Right? I knew where I was because I had light. I knew where I was. But all of a sudden, I'm running all confident stuff. And I'm chasing this. You know, I was in better shape then. I was chasing him. I'm in a shape now, but different shape. And All of a sudden, my confidence dropped. You know why? My flashlight went out. I'm deep in the woods with a high criminal and have no light. Now I was running through these. It wasn't dark to me. You know, it was light because I had a flashlight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. I got you. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I was just like had, right? So I put my back against this big, huge oak tree, and I'm like, I'll be on my flashlight. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this guy is. He could be right here, right now. I'm like beating on my light. And then they said, we're putting the dogs in the woods. We're putting the dogs in the woods. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I'm looking at all this darkness. I'm trying to find light. And I found like a beam of light on the outside of the woods. And I'm booking it because dogs, there's no name. They'll come after you. And so I'm running, trying to get out of the woods, thinking I'm going to get eaten alive, tripping over stuff because I don't have no, right? I don't have no light. And we finally, the dog has a tendency to find people quickly, right? Here I am right here. Help me. I'm right here. Please don't let him bite me. Anyway. And so, long story short, the suspect and I are in my cruiser. I'm changing the batteries on my light, and he wanted to ride in the back for some reason. And I'm talking to him. I said, listen. I said, I was chasing you. And I always believe in treating people. I mean, you're already going to jail. Just be nice. Sure goes a lot further than salt. He was already in the back seat, you know. Anyway, so we're talking. I said, when my light went out, when I was chasing you, I said, and my back was against a tree, big oak tree, and I'm beating on my light. I said, where were you? He says, I was on the other side of that oak tree.
That's so important because Jesus said, your word is a lamp. The word of God says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, which means the word of God is a light that shows us where we're at.
Yeah.
And it's a light that tells us where we're going, a vision for our life. Although that was having a little fun with it, but the reality is a lot of people are running through life with a flashlight because they've made a decision to follow Jesus, but they did not get in the Word. As a matter of fact, 81%, according to George Barner, don't even get into the Word. So I just want to encourage you, it's time to get into the light. Maybe the dream's for you. If you're in the Gulf Coast region, come join the dream at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Or join one of our virtual members from around the world. Just go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org and you can join the dream. What we're talking about in the context of what would Jesus do, but who would Jesus organize? Because that's a big thing, because we're being organized. That's our conversation. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been listening, you can catch us, because it's called Tips from Lucifer. Are we being organized? Is America and the world being organized?
That's
and we're
right.
finding out. We're just kind of going through the tactics that... Our president taught for 4 years, and former Secretary of State, who is planning potentially to be the next president of the United States, that they both she did a thesis in her graduation on Alinsky's techniques for community organizing.
There's 13 of these tactics, right?
13 of them. We're gonna be doing the fifth one hopefully in a little bit. But I think that paper's still sealed. So if anybody has that paper out there,
unseal that.
If anybody has that paper, we would like to see what the tactics are. Who seals a term paper? I mean, I personally want my grades. But once her husband became president, they sealed her graduation paper because it was on Alinsky's tactics. It was on Alinsky's tactics. And so the question that we're asking, because we're just looking at, people can do what they want to do. We're not telling anybody what to do. We're just saying as believers, what would Jesus do? Who would Jesus organize? And we're finding out God organized Israel through Moses. Moses did not organize Israel through God. And he even did it through Pharaoh. So God was in control of the leader's heart and Moses' heart. Mm-hmm. Now, Korah saw all that happen. He was one of the ones that got delivered. And he's thinking, man, I could do this thing. And so he begins to organize leaders in the community, people in the Levitical priesthood that Moses gave them this position, and he says, hey, you can have this. Yeah, I'll tell you what, why don't you just help me out into this? Why don't you help me out? And all of a sudden he began to organize. And he literally came before Moses and they said, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. You brought us from the land of milk and honey. And he's like, no, God's taking you to the land of milk and honey. That's what the enemy always
does.
Don't
get it twisted.
He starts talking about what you left and what you could have had and what's going on. It's like, go back. See ya. Bye. And it'd be great. It'd be better without you, right?
Say.
It'd be better without you. Because anyway, so Korah, And so Korah's coming and presenting. So Moses said, no, you've gone too far. As a matter of fact, grab a censer, which is the thing to bring incense up, put some coals, run through the camp and do your sacrifice and let God choose tomorrow. He'll choose tomorrow who's going to be the one, because he's the one in charge. And then Moses also told Korah this in verse 16 that we're talking about. He says, you and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow, you and they and Aaron. It's just pride is just a wild thing. Hmm. It's like, are you going to show up? Really? You're going to show up? And that's how convincing. Pride is so blinding that he really thought all in the natural sense, it was all in his head, all in his brain, that he could do this thing.
And that he had a chance to be selected. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are you for real?
And then he showed up. He showed up at the tent of meetings. I mean, he showed up at the throne of God, basically, a shadow of the throne of God. And he's like, here I am. It's just like, whoo, you better repent of that pride. It's a bad, bad fall. In verse 17, so each man is to take a censer, he tells them, and put incense in it, and 250 censers in all, and present it before the Lord. And Aaron and all the present take a censer also. So each of them basically said, okay, you get up there, you seek the God, you seek the Lord, and you begin to share what God has on your heart. What's God telling you? So each of them took his censer, put burning coals in the incense and part of it, and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance of the tent. Can you imagine? Just somebody's preaching out their head, and got it all figured out, and they're going to just let that smell, that fragrant smell go before God. And so when Korah had gathered together all of his followers in opposition, in other words, he organized his rebellion against Moses, against God. He organized them. When he gathered, this is what he says, when Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them, at the entrance of the tent of meetings, the glory of the Lord appeared to the entire assembly. So you have to understand, we're seeing right here, people will walk up to their death believing a lie, because they really believe they've fallen to a lie. They believe that men are doing things, and they are, but they're doing dark things. But when God's doing something through men, that's not Peter, that's God. That's Ask Ananias and Sapphira. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. And so then the Lord, then also now Moses spoke and Korah spoke, and they organized efforts, spoke. They presented their petitions. They're telling them what they're going to do. This is our demands. We want $75 an hour and a health care plan. And besides, we can leave. Who said that you're supposed to be over us, right? So, okay, let's just bring it all to God and let him choose. And I just feeling this in my spirit. This is what the church needs. This is what all of the people needed then. They needed to see God answer the question. Yeah. That's a good question. Okay. Right. Go ahead, gather up all your little groups, and let's go appear before God and just let God answer. And the God that answered by fire, he's God. Let him choose. Like Moses really wanted to do this. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no, he didn't want to do that. And so all of a sudden, he says, the Lord answered to Moses and Aaron, separate yourself. Think about that. Separate yourself from the assembly so that I can put an end to all this at once. Okay, when he first needs to understand this, because we're talking about who would Jesus organize. And so here's Korah, who just witnessed God's movement, what he does, thinking he's going to have his own movement. He organized leaders, brought them there, and this is God's immediate response to it. And thank God for Moses. Thank God for Moses, or the people need to thank God for Moses, because God's going, okay, we're just going to take them all out. We're going to go take them all out. What does that mean? That means if you get anywhere near somebody who's moving in rebellion to God, you may lose it. If you don't have somebody to stand up and say, no, spare them.
Yeah.
Why should everybody suffer just for Korah? You know what I'm saying?
I'll be in agreement with that.
Right. And he's like, just step aside. You and Aaron step aside. I'm going to whack them. They're going to be gone. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Jonah was like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. But peace. Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces and cried out, Lord, give us that heart. He said, oh God, the God who gives breath to the living things, will you be angry with the entire assembly for only one man's sins? See, the one that was guilty was the organizer, the one that was organizing God's people, the one that went in there. And that's what happened, by the way, with Hillary Clinton. that somebody went into her church reportedly and in Chicago when she was a young lady, and I believe it was Alinsky, and radical, and just began to share with her in a church.
Wow.
You'll be surprised. I mean, we got a lot of things we're going to share over time, but just because it's a church gathering and brought, but she was, she, it was Matt at a church. And that's what happened to me in the context of it. They came into a church and we just said no. Hmm. So then the Lord responded to him wanting to have mercy on everybody. And the Lord said in verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah and this crew. I mean, think about it. First, it was like, move away from everybody. And because he interceded for everybody, he says, okay, then just move away from the leaders or the organizers. You got to find out what God, what happened, because we're asking the question, who would Jesus organize? WWJO. Mm-hmm. We'll get right back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. Mm. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, right, quote, just a, yeah, mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes, yeah, you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about who would Jesus organize? Mm. Who would Jesus organize? You got to catch the whole program. I'm going to fill too many details. I want to go ahead and just begin where we left off. But the question is, who would Jesus organize? Because a lot of people are talking about, you know, we need to organize, we need to organize. And the answer is numbers, politics, and it's not politics, it's God, yeah, by the way. So Moses, what happened was Korah organized in the wilderness, in the desert, against Moses. I mean, he organized leaders and key people, people that who Moses entrusted to be in a place of, sure, leadership, and Korah organized them all. But God held, and Moses kind of singled out, this is Korah that really stirred all this up. All right. And but God was going to whack everybody out. He's going to take them all out. Mm-hmm. And then God looks for somebody to intercede. And this is the heart of God, you know. And he said, you know, why should everybody suffer for just Korah's,
right,
rebellion? But there was two other men that went with him. So he said, fine, instead of you, Moses and Aaron, stepping away from all the people and me taking them out, why don't you guys step away from these three men led by Korah, them and their family, and think about it. So we're picking up in verse 26. So he warns the assembly, move back. Everybody move back from the tents of the organizers. Move back from the tents of these wicked men.
Right.
That's what they're saying, right? I'm reading right here. Do not touch anything that belongs to them. Put down their pamphlets and their communication tools. Do not touch anything that belongs to them, or you will be swept away because of their sins.
Mm. Wow.
That's right. You don't want to be making no contributions and nothing like that.
That's right.
So they moved away from the tents of Kor, Dothan, and the other bro there. And think about it. They came out and were standing with their wives, the ones that organized the rebellion, with their wives, their children, their little ones, at the entrance of the tent of meetings, at the shadow of the throne of God.
Mm.
They just showed up. Don't put it past. Pride is, no fear. Then Moses said in verse 28, answer the question, who would Jesus organize? This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea. And that's what they think. Mm. This is what the enemy tells somebody who's caught up in darkness. They think you had an idea. This is your idea. That's what they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start getting in your idea, trying to manage your idea, trying to change your idea. And it's like, it's not mine to change. It's not his to change. It's not yours to change. If God's telling you to do something, you just got to do what it is.
That's it.
It's amazing how that works. And so, okay, this is how you're going to know it's not my idea. He says, if these men die a natural death, this is Moses talking out loud to all the folks. There was no PA system, so you imagine his voice. And if these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, the Lord has not set me here.
Mm.
He hasn't sent me. Verse 30. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, a totally new way of dying, for example, like the earth opens its mouth and swallows these guys. So he says, swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive. I mean, he's like real specific. Go down alive into the realm of the dead. Then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt.
The Lord.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't Peter. Ananias and Sapphira plotted and planned, and they thought, I got this figured out. Mm-hmm. So they're going to organize between each other against the church and kind of present something. And it's like, oh, that's what that is. You're organizing. It's against God.
Mm-hmm.
And so Moses is like, let it rip. Hey, if he wants to send me to the backside, I was fine back there before I came. You know, if he's changed his mind, I'm cool with that. So verse 31, as soon as he finished saying all this, think about this. As soon as Moses finished saying, okay, I want to bring some clarity how it's going to be divided out here. We're going to know who's chosen by God and who's not chosen by God. Who's going to be God's people, who's not. And I already believe that's coming down to America. I believe there's going to be a division taking place. And all the folks who have been trying to follow God in their heads but never serving God in their hearts, they're going to have a choice to make to get on God's side or stay on the dark side.
That's right.
So as soon as he finished saying all this, the ground underneath them began to split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their household and all their associates, all those organizing associates with Korah, together with all of his possessions. I mean, just swallowed up. Mm. Think about the Madrid fault line that they've been talking about, right?
Yeah.
They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. And then the earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. I'm going to add this part, that they tried to organize.
Yeah.
Because it was God's community. It was God's community. And I know for a fact, the Pacific Institute for Community Organizing goes into the church, goes into the body of Christ to use the body of Christ to organize just like Korah did against the leadership. I know that for a fact because they came into our church and they sold us on a bill of goods. And the person who was leading it didn't even know Jesus Christ as Lord. Said that all that he is a teacher and a carpenter. That's it.
Wow.
Out of Berkeley.
Mm. Wow. Talk about signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders. Yeah, exactly. Go. And so what happens, and this is what we need really, you think about it. It says, at their cries, all the Israelites around them fled and shouted, the earth is going to swallow us too. You know why? Because they were buying into all the stuff that was going on. And the fire came down from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense, the ones who went out there and ran their mouths and said all that stuff that came out of them, that the fire of the Lord came down and just consumed them up. You think that you're not going to be held accountable for that stuff you're spreading over the body of Christ? Mm. Those words out of your mouth? Do you really think that the fire of God's not going to consume you? Do you really think that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
The Lord said to Moses, he says, tell all of them to remove all their censers and their charms and everything that remained and all their censers. And basically, they had them all beat into something, shaped the censers into some gold to be used at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, and this is what you say, and we're going to go to a break here. You say, well, you know, that's the Old Testament, Greg. Mm-hmm. That's the Old Covenant. Today, we can actually just do anything we want to as long as we throw the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with the New Covenant. Has nothing to do with the New Covenant. Not at all.
Wow.
To do with the New Covenant. The exception of one small little thing, Jude, the book of Jude, which is the last book outside the book of Revelation in the New Testament. Let me read it to you right here. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about salvation, the grace message we share, right? I felt compelled to write to you and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and all entrusted to God, to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our sovereign and our Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions in authority, they abandoned their places of authority where they dwelled. And these have been kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day of judgment. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves over to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer punishment for eternal life. In the very same way, he goes on to say in verse 8, on the strength of their dreams. I have a dream.
Hmm.
On the strength of their dreams. These ungodly people pollute their own bodies, they reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him by slandering him. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand. And the very things they do understand by instinct is the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for the prophet of Baal's era. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion.
Wow.
These people are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest of qualms. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees, without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved. Listen, God is in control. It matters how we respond to the authority that God has established.
Mm.
Who would Jesus organize? We're finding that out. Join us on the other side.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And
The greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, joining me is Pat and John. Welcome to VFN Radio, VFNTV.com, our WHBR audience. We just want to welcome everybody. And you're just catching us right in the middle of a conversation. So we're just going to get right in. Because they're asking the question, you know, WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? And then the question is, because of, you know, the conversation we've been having is, who would Jesus organize? WWJO. You know, who would Jesus organize? And so we just found out in the last half hour, you know, that there was this man who was delivered by God, who saw what God did through a man of God, who wanted to do it himself. So he organized the people of God to try to do it. But then he found out when the earth split and swallowed him up that God didn't appreciate what he did. This is the American church. Was he saved? Do you think he was saved?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
Isn't it right? Would that not be the question?
That's so true.
Did he say a prayer? To who? Lucifer?
He's dead. The earth opened up under his feet.
Yeah. And so we're answering the question, who would Jesus organize? And so far we're finding out at this present point that even though that Jesus was the Son of God, that he cried out to God with prayers and petitions from the one who could save him from death. And he learned obedience from what he suffered. And so when Israel cried out, and cried out to God, God responded.
Sure.
And like a baby, when a baby cries out, a brand new mother who's just had a baby, and the baby cries out, God's designed that mother for provision to drop for that baby at that one moment. One of the names of God is Breasty One, because provision comes from it, literally one of his names. And the provision of God. And so think about it. The baby has no idea how God's designed things. But when the baby gets hungry, when he or she starts crying, even though the mother's in the other side of the house, provision just drops, bam. And she starts thinking, I got to feed this baby. Because she has to feed him, because there's so much provision that drops down that she begins to hurt if she doesn't feed the baby. That's the God we serve.
Yeah.
But if you start acting like Korah and demanding provision, ain't nothing going to drop except for fire. You know what I'm saying? And so we're finding out, you know, who would Jesus organize? And I know that, you know, I just want to care, because we're talking all these tactics and stuff that we're finding out, that rules for radicals that our president taught for 4 years, that Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis on, that's still sealed to this day. But, you know, it just says the same thing. I mean, You know, it just says the same thing. And you can find out more about that. We're going to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. So we've already talked about Korah. And so we, not only was it an understanding of the old in the old covenant, but we found out that in the new covenant, in the book of Jude, right before the revelation of Christ, that it's mentioned again in the context of it, that these guys are blemishes at the love feast, which means they're amongst us.
Yeah.
That means they're amongst us. They're eating with us. They're carrying on. But you know, when that day comes, when you go, my goodness, because he said, let the weeds and the wheat grow together.
Mm.
Right? He says, you know, they'll grow together. And the sheep and the goat, they'll come. But all of a sudden, you'll be standing before the throne of God. You'll be going like, you're a weed? You're a weed? Think about it, right? Yeah. You're a weed? I mean, you say, right? Are you serious? I thought it was wheat. You talk like wheat. You know, you acted like a wheat, but your fruit was weeds. God knew your heart. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, my goodness. That alone, you know, and you won't know until that moment comes and you stand before God like Korah did and like Moses did. And all of a sudden, okay, here we are. That was a sheep and a goat example right there. That Korah and his crew were goats.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right? And
That's
then
right.
the sheep was Moses and his crew. And so let's look at another organized effort that took place. And we got to understand that God did organize Moses through Moses. Moses didn't organize through God. So there is a perspective here where God begins to gather his folks together to be able to show himself mighty to his folks. He's not trying to change other things. Yeah, he raises nations up. He brings nations down. He hardens hearts. He softens hearts. He directs kings' hearts like a water course. Listen, it's all God's totally in control. He's wanting us to have a relationship with him. Want him to, us to understand that. And somebody who organizes against him and against his authority don't understand him at all. They're buying into darkness. They're buying into, well, just like Alinsky's book says, Saul Alinsky, he dedicated it to Lucifer in the beginning of the book. And so so here's another one. Here's another particular person that thought that they saw all that David, King David was doing. He was doing a great job. And he was chosen by God. Remember, he was a shepherd just doing his expectations of what was happening out there in the wilderness with the father. He's carrying his brothers who were very abusive, carrying his food to the brothers, just doing everything that was expected from him. And he just happened to overhear, you know, that everybody and all of God's people were hiding behind rocks while the enemy was throwing rocks. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to come against the armies of God? And he just went out there with what he had, and God helped him defeat. God defeated this giant through him. And so God called him and anointed him and promoted him to a place of leadership over God's people. He did not self-promote. He did not organize to get himself in that news channel. I mean, that he did not promote, get himself in that place of leadership.
Right.
You know, well, remember they actually came to my office and told me, hey, I just want to let you know we took over this ministry. Remember, we totally took it over. It's okay because we caught him in something, so we just took it over. I'm like, are you coming to my office and telling me you did this man in, right?
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure did. He was shocked.
Yeah, no problem with it.
It's
either.
Like, out of here! Out of here!
Wow.
Anyway, so, and so in the context of that, so David has some sons, and he's king now. They came and got him and said, we want you to be king. And so he said, okay. And he got there. He said, I know why you got me here, God. You want me to be able to take care of your people. That was his understanding. And so with that, his son, he had a son named Absalom that had a lot of issues. And Absalom was watching what was taking place. He watched everything that his dad did. But remember, God was doing this through his dad. God was doing this through David. David wasn't doing this through God.
Right.
That's a big difference. But Absalom wanted to do it through God. He didn't want God to do anything through him because he would have to humble himself and submit to the king. And so he began to get
with the people out there. And
yeah, he did. He stood by the gates of the city, and he began to just kind of, you know, hey, you know, I was just thinking, you know, he's so
kind
busy.
Of question for you.
You know, he's just so busy, you know, that Pastor so-and-so or Brother so-and-so or your mom and dad are so busy. The president's so busy. Your congressman's so busy. Your whatever's so busy, right, that you know, let's go have a cup of coffee. Maybe we can just begin to talk. And he began that thing, and he was very I don't know, like Woodrow Wilson, he had the ability to speak and people would applaud. I mean, he had the ability to just, he was very political. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way, right? He's very political. And so what he did, first started off by not putting down his person that he wanted to take over this place. He actually praised him, but he just didn't have a lot of time.
Right.
But that eventually went to replacing him and having King David pushed out. That's when you hear about a spirit of Absalom. That is an organizing, community organizing spirit. He organized God's people, like Korah did. He organized them against God's leadership, but it was God he was organizing against. And the difficult thing is with this situation where Korah was not Moses' son, that Absalom was David's son, so he had this love for Absalom. But other folks who were suffering because of all that totally understood. It's like, hey, this dude's organized against you. And then he pushed him out of his own of the kingdom that God put him in.
Wow.
He pushed him out. He organized. He successfully used Lucifer's tactics. As a matter of fact, if you look at the tactics that are talked about in Rules for Radicals, he used those tactics, ridiculing and all these different things, pushing people beyond their limits, causing them to be fearful and insecure, and staying with you, all these different things, and targeted David, and eventually just had him pushed out. And David, as humble as he was, he just left.
Okay.
And his right-hand man did say, you want me to take him out? That's not him, but one of his guys throwing rocks. And he said, no, maybe God will see this and reward me. But in the long story short, what happened was, that he built his own parade. He built his own celebration. He created his own, and this is, you got to understand, this is how the human nature works. It works by speeches. It works by the ability to say and present something. If it looks like it is in the mindset, you got to make sure there's fruit behind it because you can be convinced that it is when it isn't. So you say, put a procession together. Put everything together. Let's start walking down, going like I'm king. You know, let's go ahead and back out. We've already won this thing already. Lie to them.
Yeah.
That's what the Alinsky rules are. Right. Just lie to them. It's not what you have. It's what you say you have. It, what you don't have. It's really. And so they bought into it. And so they're thinking, oh, my goodness, something must have happened between the father and the son here.
You're creating that image. You're propping him up.
Propping him up.
It's not real.
Right. And so all of a sudden, the actual God-chosen leader was pushed out. And now they had Lucifer over God's people. We had darkness over God's people. We had this man bound. And he was this talker, a speaker, a political dude, nice looking, they said in the Word of God. And a long story short, eventually he ended up, this is what God thought about him. He ended up hanging from a tree from his hair and a sword being pierced through his heart.
That's right.
And God put back, not Moses, he put back David, the man that he had chose. You got to find out, who is God chosen to be the lead? And by the way, welcome to American Rebellion, because there's a God leadership in your life. There's somebody that God's established for you to be related to and connected to, and it's a God thing. And not only, the issue pretty much in America is not like people rebelling against directly. They're not anywhere around it. They're not anywhere around it, and but the ones who are some of the are organizing against it, and so we're finding out who would Jesus organize. Well, God wasn't in the community organizer called Absalom. He wasn't in the community organizer named Korah, and the thing that they have in common was they were organizing against Romans chapter 13, which says all authority is established by God, and those who organize against it are organizing against what God has established. And that's so very, very important, because we have to understand that somebody says, well, then all organizing is bad. No, it's not bad. As a matter of fact, we get back from the break, we're going to spend the rest of this program helping us all understand. We're learning together about the difference between what Korah did and what Moses did, and then somebody like an apostle like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. Huge difference.
Huge
difference when we get back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting And we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
That's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds. And I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, welcome to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh, my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. I think it's our Southern draw. We got to, you know, really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Sort of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. No. He's like, oh, I didn't
are
know
you
about
calling
that
me
one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill? What does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Cheat?
Yeah.
No Jew? Nope. Don't do? And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this, cheat? Nope. Don't do?
I
that was the final thing. And that means we're gonna have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are going to bring it home in regards to, you know, we were talking about who would Jesus organize, WWJO. And some people today are realizing they're using and saying that Dr. King would have bought in to Saul Alinsky's book. Listen, Dr. King was this apostle of God, I believe apostle of God, was assassinated in 1968. I got the book in my hand right here. It wasn't written until 1971 from prison in the context of that. In the beginning of Saul Alinsky's book, it says, when he's talking about Rules for Radicals here, who's dedicated to a man who taught it for 4 years, which is President Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, who wants to be president next. This is what it says. Lest we forget, at least. This is a shout-out in his book to Lucifer. Lest we forget, at least, an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is known where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which. The first radical known to man who rebels against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer. That is Saul Alinsky's dedication of his book. There it is right there.
Wow. Front page.
That's the front page. There's a book right there. You can see it. And back in the back of it, it has them. And so the question is, and so what was the 10 commitments? So let me just read, first of all, the 13 rules for the radicals, real quick. Like, these are 13 rules from Alinsky's book that the president taught for 4 years, according reportedly. The first one is, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Never go outside the experience of your people. Whenever possible, and we have these broken down, each of them broken down to give you a light perspective, but we're just going to go ahead. There are 13 commitments of a radical that organizes with Alinsky. Whenever possible, go outside the experiences of your enemy. Number four, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. He breaks that down by saying Christians can't even live up to their Bible. Fifth, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. This is Alinsky. This is what our president taught for 4 years, and what Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis on.
A sealed thesis right now.
Yeah, sealed thesis. Number six rule for radicals is a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. In other words, people's attention span that you're using their flesh. Can't do it. I gotta keep going. Number seven, keep the pressure on, never let up. Number eight, number nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing that really is itself, which is, you know, just a hollow threat. Number 10, the major premise for tactics is to develop an operation that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Number 11, if you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. In other words, keep saying the negative, and all of a sudden one day it becomes a positive. Number 12, the price of a successful tactic is a constructive alternative. And 13, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Okay, well, let's just look at the 10 commandments or Number six is, what is it?
A good tactic is one your people enjoy.
Right, and I'm reading this off the VFN torch. This is actually the 10 commitments to be able to walk with Dr. King, which I believe was an apostle, was an apostle, who was assassinated in 1968. And this book for radicals that people are saying that he would have bought in is dedicated to Lucifer.
Right.
And those tactics, look how they contradict. This is a card you had to sign, this commitment card, and pledge this card to be able to even walk with him, to walk with this man. Because he stayed within the Constitution. He wasn't trying to overthrow it. He was forcing America to live up to it. I'm holding you what's written on the paper. Secondly, he did it under God. It's amazing. He set an example for us to be Americans to just live up to what we have down on the paper. And this is the card. You had to sign this card to be able to walk with him. This is called the commitment card. He said, this is what you sign. He says, I hereby acknowledge myself, my person, and my body. I pledge myself, my person, and my body to the nonviolent movement. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments or commitments. Here's number one. Look at the comparison of the two. Number one, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. He didn't dedicate nothing to Lucifer. He's an apostle. He loved Jesus, and you could even walk with him. He didn't want you representing what he was representing if you didn't walk with you. He didn't mean he didn't love you. He's just like, listen, you're messing the movement up because this is spirit-led. This is in the context of the law, Constitution, and the context of the Word of God. The very first one was meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. We call that abiding.
Right.
You can go to iabide.org and begin to do that, and you can march with, you know, the question we said was, you know, will King even let you march with him? Number two is, remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory.
Wow.
Think about that. That's such a God thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's talking about reconciliation at the cross of Christ. He's talking about all men are equal under the eyes of God. We all are men and women of God. There is no sanctity. The victory was done on the cross of Christ. Number three, walk and talk in a manner of love. For God is love. Now, I'm reading you the commandments, the 10 commitments that you had to sign and pledge. This is what he said. I hereby pledge myself, my person, and my body to the nonviolent movement. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments or 10 commitments to to be able to march with Dr. King.
Yeah.
Totally different than Alinsky's stuff. And I can't believe that there's, I'm sure if, you know, she's like, are you really taking this,
it's
man?
It's embarrassing.
It really, it's like, I can imagine, because I know how he felt about Moses' bones. I know how he felt about, you know, David. Do you realize what you're doing to somebody, what you're doing to Dr. King's legacy and how God feels about it? Now we saw what Korah did and we saw what Absalom did and others did. And so then he says in 4, he says, this is another commitment that you had to have to walk with Dr. King is pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Wow. All men might be free. Number 5, sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. I think I just said that one.
No, they're close.
They're close. Okay. Right. Okay. The first one, number 4, was pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. And number 5 is sacrifice personal wishes.
Yeah. Don't just pray, but get involved in this thing. Walk this thing out.
Which is the opposite of Link's, because you got to use people's desires and loves and all that kind of stuff. And number 6 is observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. I mean, that is so opposite of pushing people, nudging people, forcing people, rebelling against what's established. I mean, this man walked like Jesus. Well, WWJD. I'm telling you, if you want to know how Jesus would organize, not who, this is how he organizes. God obviously spoke to this man and anointed him for a time such as this, and he did it in humility before God.
Mm-hmm.
Before God, staying under the context of the law, he did not rebel against the authority that was established, and he did not rebel against the authority of God. As a matter of fact, he said, if you're going to walk with me, you have to stay in the context of this thing called the Constitution and God's Constitution. He had nothing to do. Whose fruit was and is, and what we see in his speeches, and who he is, and who Daddy King said he was. And Daddy King, his dad, immediately forgave the man that killed his son, and he was a man of love. And, you know, we had a friend of ours that was a friend of Daddy King, and he talked about his heart. And, like, you know, that's it's like the seed don't fall far from the tree, that this is who he was.
Yeah.
And he would not take a tip from Lucifer. Mm. Come on. Are you serious? Listen to this 10 commitments here. And the 7th is seek to perform regular services for others and for the world. Mm. Services. This is it. 8, refrain from violence of fist, tongue, or heart. That is not, he would not be into Occupy Wall Street.
No.
Right.
He would not be into, you know, saying terrible things against, protesting against, hateful speech against leaders and hateful speech against the church. I mean, he loved, obviously. And when you hear Evita King, Pastor Evita King, talk, you're just like, oh, I think you really, I just feel in my spirit that she's got it, and that's her uncle.
And it wasn't like there weren't other movements going around at the time to co-op it, or you know what I'm saying?
Right, and he separated himself from that because he knew it wasn't the context of this. And number 9, strive to be in good spirits and bodily health. And 10th is, this is the 10th commitment, follow the direction of the movement and of the captain on the demonstration. Understand this, that there is no comparison. None whatsoever. Just because there's a group of people walking down the street doesn't mean that's something that Dr. King did.
Right.
This man is a man of integrity. He was a man of integrity, a man of character, a man who understood things that we need to understand. I mean, he understood America. He understood the Constitution. He understood rights. He understood humanity. He understood Jesus. And he knew any moment, when he said, I've been to the mountaintop, he wasn't just doing what Marshall Gantz said, buying into some biblical narrative. He knew that he might not make it there with him because all these folks who had this darkness over them trying to hold and repress the people in America were trying to take his life.
And he was willing to give it up.
Yeah, and he was willing to give it up. The man walked out. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend. Listen, I truly believe that if you bring his name up and you bring up radical rules rules for radicals and Alinsky, anything, Lucifer's dedicated book, and compare it to what Dr. King, I think it's an affront, and I really believe it probably break his heart if he knew it, but he's with God now. Yeah. But now we see what God will do with those who come against what he has established. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com.
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.